very, very happy to be gathered together this evening in the auspicious home of the family of Gopesh Patel Prabhu. Mataji, thank you for your wonderful hospitality. Prabhu, thank you for opening the doors of your home to us this evening. In 2000 year, we had program upstairs. And in my heart, I very fondly, affectionately remember that beautiful experience. This evening, we are honored by the blessed association of His Holiness Romapad Swami Maharaj and His Holiness Chandramali Swami Maharaj. The three of us will speak for just about 5 or 10 minutes each, because the devotees requested nice kirtan. And since we're in the basement, the floor is very sturdy, so we can have very wonderful kirtan. His Holiness Romapad Maharaj, who is very deeply learned and realized in Prabhupada's books, has, on our request, chosen the subject for this evening. Not only is he giving us the subject to speak, but in the form of these naturopathic lozenges, he's giving us the power to speak also. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a very instructive narration which illustrates a key element within Vaishnav society. That element is affection and respect between devotees. Although there are various services and various statuses of society that devotees may be in. You know the story of Hanuman when he was building bridge across the ocean to Sri Lanka in the service of Sri Ram. He was tearing peaks off Himalayan mountains and carrying them all the way. Huge boulders, thousands of tons each, and placing them in river. Because the bridge was, what was it? It was 800 miles long and 100 miles wide. Because it was a big army that had to cross over. So as he was performing this tremendous service, he came upon a little spider. Some people say squirrel. But this little spider was kicking grains of sand. Hanuman, carrying big rock, said, "Move aside, spider." And Ramchandra said, "Hanuman, do not speak like that. You are doing what you can do in my service, and the spider is doing what he could do in according to his capacity to serve me. I do not see the action. I see the intent of the action. That is bhakti." Srila Prabhupada emphasizes this in one beautiful purport in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, where he explains that Krishna accepts the purpose in which everything is offered to him. Not simply the thing, but the purpose, the intent, the devotion in which whatever is offered is presented to the Lord. So devotees who understand this principle are not partial to think that one devotee is a big devotee and another devotee is a small devotee because of their abilities or because of their capacity or because of their particular ashram. Srila Prabhupada, with great emotion, explained once about an old lady, widow, who would bring some water to the Radha Damodar temple early morning. People didn't even know who she was. She would just go to Yamuna and bring a bucket of water and just leave it outside the pujari room. And they would use that to bathe the deities. So simple. But yet, here is a Paramhamsa Acharya with such affection and respect, glorifying her all over the world because of her sincerity. It is the nature in human society that people are proud. They are egoistic. And whatever their religion, whatever their position, their ashram, their status in society, their community, they think that we're the best. And they belittle others because they are something else. But this is the bodily conception of life. The spiritual conception is to understand what pleases Krishna. So Vaishnav society kicks out materialistic, egoistic conceptions and appreciates, cultivates, nourishes the essence, which is bhakti. It is not a matter of nationality. It is not a matter of skin color. It is not a matter of sex. It is not a matter of caste. It is not a matter of ashram. It's a matter of sincerity. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to establish this. In so many ways he did. What is the Yuga Dharma in Age of Kali? Everyone say. When Lord Chaitanya was speaking to Prakashananda Saraswati, he quoted his Guru Maharaj, that my Guru Maharaj taught me a verse and told me that this verse must always be remembered and always cultivated within your heart. It is paramount importance. And what was that verse? Haranam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. If we want to attain the essence of spiritual perfection, pure unalloyed love of God, the chanting of the holy names is the only way in the age of Kali. Now, who did he establish as the Namacharya? The Acharya. For all time in the age of Kali, the person that he personally appointed to teach by his example the chanting of the holy name. Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is the father of all living entities within our universe. He's the original spiritual master after Krishna within the whole universe. But by Lord Chaitanya's instruction, Lord Brahma took birth in an untouchable Malecha Yavana family who was not even allowed in the Hindu temples. Lord Chaitanya wanted to show the world it is not a matter of your birth, it is not a matter of your caste, it is not a matter of your ashram, it's a matter of your sincerity. Haridas Thakur was a pure devotee who had a pure taste for the holy name. When he chanted, he was in ecstasy. He had such power. When he was beaten in 22 marketplaces by criminals simply because he was Muslim by birth, chanting Krishna's names. The Muslims hated him, and certain caste Brahmins hated him. He was praying to the Lord, please forgive them. Please give them love of God. This was his quality. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally, the supreme personality of Godhead, every day came out of Jagannath's temple to personally serve Haridas Thakur and to show the world the glory of one who is attached to the chanting of the holy names. Yes, in so many ways, Lord Chaitanya wanted to shake people's hearts and crush materialistic, egoistic misconceptions and bring people to the essence. And what is the essence? The spirit of surrender to Krishna. The spirit of taste for the chanting of the holy names. And India, in those days, was much more superstitious about all these materialistic designations than today. But Lord Chaitanya wanted to shake things up because he saw, like every religion in the world, people become superficial and artificial and judge things on the basis of externals, not understanding samsiddhir haritoshanam. The success of whatever we do is how it pleases Krishna. Prabhupada understood this essence, and therefore he gave a chance to all types of people to become paramhamsas. Because it's innate within every person's heart. The soul is eternal servant of Krishna. The soul is not American, Indian, Pakistani, Russian, Argentinian. The soul is part and parcel of Krishna, the eternal servant. And therefore, everyone's right is to love Krishna. Trinarapi sunichena taror ibasishna. Amani namanadena kirtaniya sadahari. Who is a saintly person? According to the Lord, it's a person who's humble, tolerant, and respectful, not egoistic. And these are the qualities of an actually great devotee, not just a person who can talk about the gopi's love for Krishna, because even scholars smoking cigarettes and drinking alcohol can memorize these slokas. It's not an intellectual exercise. We can only enter into these intimate pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead when we please Him by our qualities. And this is the quality Romapad Maharaj was explaining yesterday. Trinarapi sunichena taror ibasihishna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. To learn to appreciate and respect the essence. It's not a matter of your guru or my guru. It's not even a matter of your religion or my religion. What really is important is to understand the essence, is what is the spiritual Vaishnav qualities that we're developing. That is what real religion is about. That is what Vaishnavism is about. And that is what will attract Krishna's causeless mercy. Should I continue? Hari Bol. So, on another occasion, in Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya was saying goodbye to all of his devotees. It was a very wonderful tradition. These devotees from Bengal, that means Navadvip, Shantipur, Kulinagram, Shrikanda, and all the areas surrounding, and also many devotees from Orissa, they would take 4 months off of all of their work every year to be with Lord Chaitanya, just to hear, chant, and dance and take prasad constantly in the association of devotees. Because they had their priorities. They had families. They had work. But they understood their priority. Now, we may not be able to take off 4 months every year, but at least we could come to the temple on Sunday, perhaps. Do a little extra service. It's a matter of making priorities in our life. And Shivananda Sen, what a devotee he was. He was a grihastha with several children and a wonderful wife who loved him dearly. And he would work so hard all year round, and with the funds that he earned, he sponsored 300 to 400 people to walk all the way to Puri. He would make all their accommodation arrangements. He would pay for all their prasad, all the tolls and taxes they had to pay when they went into different kingdoms, because in those days India was divided into so many kingdoms. What a devotee. It was his service to the Vaishnavas. And because, although he was a family man, a grihastha, working with an occupation, because he had such a deep and genuine spirit to serve, knowing that serving the Vaishnava is his service to Krishna, which is so dear. Lord Chaitanya loved his whole family so much. Lord Chaitanya said on many occasions to Shivananda Sen, "Your family is my family." Lord Chaitanya named his children. When Shivananda Sen's wife was pregnant, Shivananda Sen came for 4 months. Lord Chaitanya, he's a sannyasi. In those days, sannyasis were very, very strict socially. It wasn't common for them to talk about pregnant ladies. But Shivananda Sen's family, he was very happy. Your wife is pregnant. Very good. He had disciples like Swarup Damodar Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Gadadhar Pandit, who were staunch sannyasis. But Lord Chaitanya gave the same amount of love and respect to his grihasthas. And the sannyasis honored. Gadadhar Pandit was the greatest renunciate from birth. But he took as his spiritual master Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who was a very wealthy grihastha, who had tremendous opulences. Big, beautiful house. He wore nice clothes. Because he saw the essence within his heart of humility and love for Krishna. Spirituality is not based simply on external superficialities. Although externals should be expressions of our inner aspirations and ideals. So Lord Chaitanya told Sivananda Sen that name your child when he is born Paramanandapuri, which is one of Lord Chaitanya honored and respected the godbrothers of his guru the same way he respected his guru. This is the culture he taught. It wasn't my guru's better than your guru. No, Lord Chaitanya honored all his guru's godbrothers the same way he honored his guru. He respected them like that. That is the culture that pleases the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya named after Paramanandapuri, who is the godbrother of Ishwarapuri, his guru. In fact, Paramanandapuri lived in Puri with Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya served him. Paramanandapuri worshipped him as the Supreme Lord, and Lord Chaitanya worshipped him as his guru's godbrother. This is spiritual life. So he went home and he named him Paramanandapuri. The child was born just after he came home, and he brought the baby to Lord Chaitanya the next year. And Lord Chaitanya was so affectionate that the Lord placed the toe of his lotus feet in the little baby's mouth, and the child sucked his toe. Who could understand such mercy? And here are the staunchest, strictest sannyasis standing around watching this. What was their understanding? How glorious is Sivananda Sen? How glorious is his wife? How glorious is our children? Because the Lord loves them. And that's what everything is about in spiritual life. And after he sucked his toe, he became so blessed. He became one of the greatest authors and poets in Vaishnava history, Kavi Karnapur. He wrote Ananda Brindavan Champu, Gauragano Dashtapika, Sri Chaitanya Chandramrita, some of the most glorious books in the history of Vaishnavism by Kavi Karnapur, who when he was a little baby was blessed by the Lord in this way. So the Lord loved his grihastas, loved his sannyasis, and therefore the sannyasis respected and honored the grihastas honored and respected the sannyasis. There wasn't a difference. They each performed their duties very strictly, but they honored and worshipped each other because they understood the essence. So when they all came to Puri, by Sivananda Sen's nice arrangements, Lord Chaitanya would personally greet them. He would put garlands on them and sandalwood, and he would individually embrace each devotee and serve them with his own hands. Then he would bring them to his house, Gambira. Then he would allocate a particular residential location for each one of them, just suitable to their needs, and arrange personal servants for them. Lord Chaitanya personally orchestrated this every year for 400 devotees. That's good management. And he had all of his devotees in Puri just assisting him in serving the Vaishnavas, because they knew that's what pleased him. To Haridas Thakur, he personally arranged with his own hands a nice little secluded forest right next to Jagannath's temple, and personally arranged a tree for him and a kutir. That was the Lord's love. So it was a glorious reunion when all the Orion devotees and Bengali devotees and Lord Chaitanya and devotees came from Vrindavan. They all would meet. And then after the Chaturmasya, they all had to go back because they had responsibilities to families. They had responsibilities to disciples in various places. They had occupational duties. So they would meet in Lord Chaitanya's residence to say goodbye. Not exactly say goodbye, but to just offer their respects. And at that time, Lord Chaitanya would give different devotees personal instructions. Now I will begin the lecture, and I have 5 to 10 minutes.
planned this way.
He told me to give introduction first.
Yes, exactly. Scripted. Spontaneous script.
By your glance, I'm being scripted. Maharaj is so dear to my heart. He's such a wonderful, wonderful, dedicated Vaishnava. And Chandramali Maharaj is sweetness personified. This is my analysis. Lord Chaitanya, as he was bidding a farewell to the Vaishnavas, he spoke to the senior residents of a village named Srikanda. Have any of you been to Srikanda? It's a beautiful village, very simple. Has Argentinian devotees been to Srikanda? No. Please come. It's not far from Mayapur Dham, just a few hours. And these devotees, Lord Chaitanya gave individual instructions to each of them. First he turned to Mukunda Sarakar. He said, Mukunda, you should earn material and spiritual wealth. Then he turned to Raghunandan and said, you should worship the deity and take care of the temple. Then he turned to Narahari Sarakar and said, you should live in the association of devotees and preach Hare Krishna. Now Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave these three instructions to show the world that in his heart these three essential services are all equal in the sense that they are all interdependent with one another. For there to be a Vaishnav society, there must be those who are taking care of the temple, which is a very serious responsibility, because the temple facilitates people to come to worship the Lord. It's a gathering place to hear Hari Katha, to have Hari Kirtan, and to see the beauty of the deity, and to see the worship of the deity and participate. And it is also so important for people to preach. For people who, like brahmacharis and sannyasis, live in the association of devotees and ashram or whatever, and they're just preaching the message and they're giving their life for that purpose, to set the highest examples by their conduct and to speak the philosophy of pure devotion to the Lord. But these two services cannot exist unless there are grihasthas who have occupations, who are earning money, who are financially sustaining the preachers, who are financially sustaining the deity worship, who are financially sustaining the temple and the projects of reaching out to the temple, from the temple, and who are attaining the exact same benefits as the preachers and the pujaris, because they are earning. They are earning spiritual wealth through their activities. So I will speak on earning material and spiritual wealth. And Chandramali Swami will... Who spoke on deity worship yesterday?
I'll speak on deity worship.
You will speak on deity worship and you will speak on preaching. Hare Krishna. So he spoke to Mukunda Sarakar, that you should earn material and spiritual wealth. Now, I'll tell you something about this Mukunda Sarakar. He was one of the highly honored, worshipable Vaishnavas at the time. But he was so humble. Chaitanya Charitamrita gives an example of his humility and his ecstasies. He was a medical doctor. And he was such a good medical doctor. You see, in Krishna consciousness, whatever you do, you should do it the best you can, because you're doing it for Krishna. Prabhupada said, if you're a businessman, you do the business the best you can as an offering to Krishna. If you're offering your business to Krishna, you don't do it in a sloppy way, in a haphazard, negligent way. You do it proficiently, because it's an offering to Krishna. If you're an engineer, if you're a doctor, whatever you do, with great consciousness, because you're offering the fruits to Krishna. So yes, Mukunda Sarakar was a physician, and he was treating medically all different types of people, devotees, common people. He was such a good physician, so excellent in his work, that the Mughal king of the area accepted him as physician. Hare Krishna. That's impressive, isn't it? When the Mughal king was having health problems, he would call Mukunda Sarakar, because he knew he was the most empowered, proficient doctor there was. So one day the king called him. The king was in a public place, and he was sitting on a high raised platform, on a throne. Yes? And Mukunda Sarakar had to go all the way up on the high platform, and he was asking, the king was explaining what his problem was. And it was around noontime, the sun became very hot. So one of the servants of the king brought a peacock tail fan to shade the king from the sun. As soon as Mukunda Sarakar saw the peacock feather, who do you think he remembered?
Krishna.
In remembering Krishna, his mind became so deeply absorbed in love. Uncontrollably, he fell into ecstasy to such an extreme that he couldn't even maintain his consciousness. He just fell unconscious. He fainted in love and fell all the way down from this high raised platform to the ground. The king was very worried. He thought he may be dead. The king got off his throne and ran down the steps and ran to the ground. And there was Mukunda laying there. And the king somehow sprinkled water and brought him back to consciousness. And said, what happened? Now Mukunda, he wasn't sahaja. Today so many people take spiritual life very, very cheaply. Actually, ecstatic love is so high, it is so sacred, it is so deep. It's not just a sentimental idea. Today people cry intentionally. People even faint intentionally, just to show the world that I am in ecstasy. Chandramali Maharaj has been trained in all these processes. If we see him crying now, we know. But a devotee, like Srila Prabhupada taught us, a real devotee, his ecstasies are for the pleasure of Krishna, not for the popularity of the world. Therefore, a devotee tries to really, like a chaste woman. A chaste woman, she covers her body very nicely because it's not for the world to see. So a chaste-hearted devotee covers his spiritual ecstasies and offers them to Krishna intimately within the heart. Sometimes unavoidably it comes out. And a true devotee can understand these things. So Mukunda Sarakar was laying there and the king said, what happened? Now he could have been honest and say, I saw the peacock feather and I went into ecstasy of love of God and I fainted. But he was more honest. He said, actually, I have a disease, something like epilepsy. And sometimes this happens to me. I'm sorry. Haribo. This is the glory of a great Vaishnav. Even so great presents himself in such a humble and simple way. But the king was actually a very learned and religious person. He understood exactly that he saw the peacock feather, he thought of Krishna, the Supreme Lord, and he fainted in ecstasy. The king knew that, and everybody else just knew that, although he was denying it. And the king said, please go home and take some rest, and I'll call you again another time. So this is the glory of Mukunda Sarakar. He earned his living in a very honest way with great integrity, but he was fully Krishna conscious. He balanced his life according to proper priorities. This is what grihastha means. Grihamedi is a person who is bound and entangled by materialistic family life. And grihastha is a person who is liberated by a spiritual family life. Grihamedi, the home, is like a dark well where there's all kinds of diversions away from spirituality. But grihastha, the home, is like a temple. The home is a place to cultivate, to nourish, and to inspire love of God. And in order to do so, Mukunda Sadakar, he followed the regulative principles so carefully. He would chant his rounds every day. We chant 16 rounds. He probably chanted at least 64 rounds. And still put in a hard day's work every day. And then when he would come home, he would be with his family, he would worship the deity, he would have Hari Katha, he would have Hari Kirtan, and he would support the preaching. This was his family life. In this way, he was earning both material and spiritual wealth. By his sadhana, by his service to the Vaishnavas, by his compassion to the poor and the fallen, he was earning great spiritual wealth. And the material wealth he was earning was simply to support that and to support others who were doing that. And therefore, yes, although he worked a full-time job, and he had children, he had wife, he was honored and respected as a Paramahamsa because of his humility, his devotion. And most of society are going to be householders. Only few rare souls are going to survive as lifelong brahmacharis and sannyasis. Most brahmacharis, it's an ashram for training, and then they go into grihastha ashram after getting very good spiritual training, learning the scriptures nicely, learning the value of sadhana, learning the value of humility, learning the value of seva, learning the value of association of sadhus. And after taking all that information and realization, then they get married, they have family, and they orient, they mold their life around the ideals that they hold sacred. That is grihastha. But the vast majority of society will be householders. So Mukunda Sarakar represented most of you tonight. Lord Chaitanya was not speaking only to him. Through him, Lord Chaitanya was speaking to all married people who want to attain spiritual perfection and who want to help others to do the same. Earn material and spiritual wealth. Do your duty. Do your service. Today I was speaking to one gentleman, very nice gentleman, and he was saying, I don't like my work because it's not fun. When I come to the temple, it's fun. But when I do my work, it's not fun. But spiritual life is not simply about fun. Spiritual life is about giving fun to Krishna. And Krishna is pleased by our surrender. And Mukunda Sarakar did that. You think it was fun for him to go into a Malecha and Yavana king's palace and treat him and his family members? Think that was fun? Actually, it was. Why? Not because of what he was doing. Because he was empowered and enthralled by the holy name that he was chanting in the morning. And the Srimad Bhagavatam he was reading. He was in spiritual consciousness. And he knew, whatever I'm doing, it's ultimately for the welfare of human society. It's ultimately in the service of Krishna. Krishna sees the purpose in which everything is offered to him. Not just the thing. Lord Chaitanya was just as happy seeing Mukunda Sarakar treating a patient and making a little money as he was seeing another devotee like Narahari having Harinam Kirtan and preaching. Because they were both for the same purpose, with the same essential intention. Is everyone able to grasp this mystery? No? Yes, thank you. Mukunda Sarakar's son was Raghunandan Thakur. Such a great Vaishnav. Yesterday Chandramali Maharaj quoted, Another year, he asked Mukunda Sarakar. Here is Raghunandan. Who is the father and who is the son? Now, Raghunandan was just a teenager then, and Mukunda was a very elderly doctor man. Mukunda Sarakar said, he is my father, I am his son. Does that make sense to you? Lord Chaitanya was in ecstasy when he heard this. He said, yes. Mukunda Sarakar said, he is my father and I am his son because he inspires me on the path of Krishna consciousness. And Lord Chaitanya said, whoever inspires us on the path of Krishna consciousness is our father and should be respected in that way. So his family was a perfectly Krishna conscious family. And Lord Chaitanya was so unlimitedly pleased with him because he prioritized his spirituality. He had very, very serious sadhana. If you don't have time for sadhana in your grihastha ashram or in your household life, then there's something seriously wrong. The whole purpose we're working is ultimately for the pleasure of Krishna and for the purification of our hearts. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that we cannot be strong without eating food grains. Yes? Spiritually, our food grains is hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. We will be spiritually weak if we don't do that. You have time to eat. You have time to sleep. We must give time. No matter what, we make it a priority. Not that I'll do everything else, and if I have more time, then I'll do my chanting and my bhakti. If that's the way we prioritize Krishna, that's the way he will prioritize you and me. Harivo. Yeyatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. Krishna says, as you approach me, as you surrender to me, I will reciprocate and reward you accordingly. If we put Krishna last, I have all these responsibilities, and Thakurji, whatever little time, I'll do something for you. Then Thakurji will reciprocate that I have so many duties in the spiritual world, and whatever little time, I'll consider your existence. But if we're sincere, then yes, I'm busy. I have family. I have home. I have mortgage. I have car payments. I have insurance payments. I have so many pressures at the office. But Krishna, I'm doing it for you. And therefore, I will give time to chant the holy names. I know devotees in India who have international corporations with 50, 60,000 employees. And they are so busy with so many pressures. But every day they come to the temple to chant their 16 rounds. And after Guru Puja, they leave for their home, take some prasad, and go to the office. They somehow or other do it. It's possible when you take it seriously. It's possible when you make it a priority. And to whatever extent you make your spirituality of chanting the holy names, following the principles of morality, and hearing Bhagavat, to the degree you make that a priority and doing some seva for the mission of the Lord, you'll figure out the way to do it. Krishna will empower you to do it. We have to understand and see the importance of it. Therefore, Mukunda Sarakar represents all grihasthas, all householders, and Lord Chaitanya was preaching to all. Your duty is to earn material and spiritual wealth. And that will be your ultimate perfection. That is as good as sannyas, if you do it sincerely. Perhaps I went over time, but sometimes I do like that. And now we will hear from His Holiness Romapad Swami Maharaj.
The process of deity worship goes side by side, these two activities, Pancharatrika and Bhagavat vidhis, side by side. Whether householder, brahmachari, sannyasi, vanaprastha, the bread and the butter, these two parallel tracks, Prabhupada used that expression. The worship of the deity, form of the Lord, helps us in many, many ways, just as we were hearing Chandramali Swami speak very nicely yesterday. The chanting, the appearance of the Lord in this world in the form of His holy name is the most merciful manifestation, because approach to Him is made very easy. Anyone in any circumstance of life, purified, pavitra or apavitra, sarvavastam gatopiva, just by calling the names of the Lord and remembering the lotus-eyed, supreme personality of Godhead through the medium of chanting His holy name, one can achieve all perfection in spiritual life. So, side by side, when even in the beginning stages, when Prabhupada was introducing Krishna consciousness, introducing chanting to the public, as that attraction for the chanting gradually stabilized, he added this second track of the train. The regular performance of some worship. Now, initially, Srila Prabhupada didn't introduce deities. Prabhupada introduced Panchatattva. There was a stand. He had a whole battery of artists just producing Panchatattva paintings for the many temples that were opening left and right. And we all began. We were trained in the beginning. Very large, standard Panchatattva painting that we would see in any temple. And gradually, through the mercy of Panchatattva, the establishment of some deity, often Gaur Nittai or Lord Jagannath, Baladev Subhadra, in someone's home or in the temple. And gradually, in course of time, that became established in homes as well. This process of deity worship, particularly for householders, particularly important for householders, is a way that one's material wealth can be reposed at the lotus feet of the deity. For whom am I earning? For the Supreme Lord. And here he is in his deity form. So the worship of the deity is done in a very regular fashion. So immediately this regulates the life of the householder. Taking rest early so that one can rise early, so that one can perform the needed activities before the Mangala Arti that the entire family will take part in. It regulates the whole family, mother, father, and children, the family members. Prabhupada specifically explains this in Srimad Bhagavatam, that the bodily conception that one carries can be purified by reposing that conception upon the deity form of the Lord and worshipping the Lord in His deity form. Just as the holy name is the most merciful manifestation of the Lord, particularly in this age of Kali, the deity form is also described in that way. Very, very merciful manifestation of Krishna, because He makes, as the holy name, the deity form makes the worship of Krishna in His personal feature readily available. I'd like to connect the worship of the deity with the previous topic here, the earning of material and spiritual wealth. This is particularly relevant for those who are taking responsibility within the temple, how to see that wealth that comes to the temple. But it's also very relevant for those who are in the position of earning the wealth and providing that for the functioning of the temple and the worship of the deity. Prabhupada explained once, I'll give two little Prabhupada examples. One is, he said that if someone, even an unknowing member of the public, offers some donation to Chandravidya on Sankirtan, and he very carefully and responsibly sees that that goes into the treasury of the temple, and the treasurer of the temple very responsibly sees that it goes for the worship of the deity, and the pujari is on the altar performing arti for the deity, Prabhupada explained, the spiritual benefit that the pujari on the altar is receiving is equaled by the spiritual benefit of the person who has made the contribution to make that activity possible. Now, Prabhupada made a condition. The condition is that there's transparency, and as one transparency is the funds, not one farthing, Prabhupada would say, is used for any other purpose, not for personal aggrandizement or sense gratification, but simply for the worship of the Lord, or furthering the cause of giving the message of the Lord to others. The spiritual benefit derived by the persons engaged in that activity is shared equally by those who are offering the wealth. So the deity form of the Lord, there's some expenditure, but that expenditure brings spiritual asset to the persons who are participating at each of the levels of the service to the deity. Very nice understanding. Now, another indication that Prabhupada gave, when I heard him say this, it made a very strong impression, and when I heard him say it again, it reinforced that strong impression very, very much. He was speaking specifically about worship in the temple, but as Radhanath Maharaj has made it very clear, these principles apply certainly also to those who are householders. This Bhagavat Vidhi and the Panchratriki Vidhi parallel one another, the two tracks of the train. So Prabhupada said that when the worship of the deity in the temple is going on very nicely, and very nicely doesn't just mean opulence, very nicely means with great sincerity of devotion, with regularity and punctuality and cleanliness. Of course, as resources permit, opulence should also be there. But the main criterion is sincerity, punctuality, and cleanliness. These are the standards that Prabhupada gave. When that deity worship goes on very nicely, everybody in the temple and in the congregation, the whole spiritual community, derives great spiritual benefit, and everything prospers. And conversely, if there is some discrepancy, some neglect or negligence, some not following that proper care of the worship of the deity, everything becomes disturbed. Things do not flourish and prosper nicely. So, in spiritual life, within the family, and within the community, the main deity, which our devotional community here in Chicago is attending to, the worship of Sri Sri Kishore Kishori, the nice festivals in honor of them, in for their pleasure. Of course, it brings great enlivenment to all those who come and see the deity worship very nicely. But those that, particularly those that are intimately involved in the worship of the deity, or those that have spiritual vision, understand the real purpose is the pleasure of the deity. I'll share one experience on the negative side, just to illustrate this. Once upon a time, Radha Govinda, our deities in New York, they were in a very, very, very wonderful setting. In a very large building in Manhattan, with the temple was filling up with devotees, so many devotees we couldn't fit all the devotees in the temple. And the congregation was growing and growing, and even there was no parking in Manhattan, where you park. But the temple room was filled. When it came time for serving prasadam, we had to use three different floors just to accommodate everybody, including the temple room itself. And we had a restaurant in the temple room and a theater upstairs and halls, and people were out in the hall. It was just packed with people. And some unmentionable stroke of insanity struck somebody's head, and the temple was sold to make other places happen. And Radha Govinda ended up in a very small place, so small that there was no assembly space in front of the deities. At that time, I was not in New York. I was in Boston as the regional secretary. When I came back and saw Radha Govinda, I trembled because they looked very angry. I don't know if we have any pictures of Radha Govinda at the time, but they were in a, there was a construction canopy over their head. The maximum number of people that could assemble in front of them was maybe 20. From a position where there was the place, it was 500, 600 people every Sunday packed in the temple room. They were very unhappy. They were very unhappy. You could see, I mean, you could see, get me out of here. So, that's the wrong side. The right side is, as growth and expansion and the flourishing of the message of Krishna consciousness and the practitioners of Krishna consciousness grow and grow, a person should be inspired by the wonderful festivals and wonderful worship of the deity to come before the deity and bow at their feet, become inspired in their own Krishna consciousness and take that Krishna consciousness back into their home and eagerly look forward to the next opportunity to come before the beautiful forms here in Chicago of Sri Kishore Kishori and take that inspiration within their hearts. I'll just share one other thing because of our the time keeps ticking the longer we speak. Prabhupada gave a very wonderful instruction also in Mayapur that I'll never forget. He was explaining how to carry the impression of the deity in one's heart throughout the day. Listen carefully. It's a nice instruction. Prabhupada explained, just as Radhanath Maharaj has been discussing, in our practical duties of life, we have, I was just sharing this with Sunila Madhava, we have busy lives. Even as sannyasis, we have busy lives. And as grihasthas, you have busy lives. And this is the pace of life that we have. So Prabhupada was sharing, even those that have busy lives, you come before the deity in the morning. You take impression of the deity and you carry that impression within your heart throughout the day. Very similar to you take the chanting of the holy name. Let the chanting of the holy name enter deeply into your heart. And that spiritualizing influence of the chanting of the holy name will stay with you throughout the day. And side by side, the impression of the deity for whom you are working, unto whom you are offering everything that you're doing. So Raghunandana, the son of Mukunda, not only in his early stage, like Chandramali Swami was describing in his early childhood, or in his teenage, but throughout his life, he completely dedicated, under the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he completely dedicated himself to the worship of Gopinath. And he was renowned in the Vaishnava community as such an elevated, pure devotee of the Lord. Even our great renunciates, Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, they Jiva Goswami, highly advanced renunciates, they engaged themselves in deity worship and engaged others in assisting them in that process of deity worship. Not only in our disciplic line, in all of the Vaishnava lines, deity worship is very, very, very important. So, I also went over my allotted time. And I'll give the microphone now to Chandramali Swami, who's to inspire us in the principle of Bhagavatamara, preaching Krishna consciousness. Chandramali Swami, ki.
So as His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj explained, that these three various instructions that came out in the form of three different types of activities: preaching, worshiping in the deity, and earning spiritual and material wealth, are equal in the sense that they're equal when they're done in the spirit of devotion to the Lord. This is the essential principle that Maharaj was making, that the Lord is accepting that mood of devotion and that mood of wanting to please the Lord by fulfilling his desire. And from that perspective, these three apparently quite diverse forms of offering service are actually equal when the bottom line is to please the Lord and to follow the instructions of the Lord. So in the regards to preaching, of course, throughout the scriptures there are so many statements about the importance of preaching. And of course, Srila Prabhupada built the Hare Krishna movement based on the principles of preaching. But preaching really can be understood in the real essence of preaching means to show compassion by giving an opportunity for the fallen conditioned souls to get out of their fallen condition and to come closer to Krishna, to come closer to the process of bhakti. In other words, preaching is not simply speaking, because we can speak. But again, preaching really means to try to penetrate someone's heart with the desire to actually take up the process of bhakti yoga, to come to closer to Krishna by engaging in the various activities. So from that perspective, it is actually an act of compassion. And as Krishna consciousness has been established by Lord Chaitanya and the previous acharyas and the followers of Lord Chaitanya and the previous acharyas, it is actually a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. And Srila Prabhupada built that movement on the mood of sacrifice. As Maharaj explained, earning material spiritual wealth, that's sacrifice. As His Holiness Ramapada Maharaj explained, the importance of putting Krishna in the form of deity in our life, that is a form of sacrifice. This process of bhakti yoga is yajna. Yajna means really to please Krishna. That's the real meaning of yajna. Not simply to do something, because it is an activity. If you're preaching and you're not pleasing Krishna, if you're not doing it in the spirit to please Krishna, then it's not going to be accepted. It's going to be, as Radhanath Maharaj says, yayatam pam man prapadyante, as you approach me. It's not as you approach me by what you're doing, but as you approach me, what mood you're doing it in. That is what Krishna is accepting. He is bhava grahi janardana, that he accepts the devotion, the essence of what you're offering. Just like I was hearing from Lokanath Maharaj. We were in India recently. How, especially with Western devotees, we don't really know how to pronounce Sanskrit quite right. So we have a tendency to say the words wrongly in the prayers. And a word in Sanskrit that a little slight deviation of the emphasis on a particular syllable changed the whole meaning of what you're saying. And he used like certain examples, like I don't want to go off track because I want to stay with preaching, but the point was that even if you're not saying it right, but if you're in your mood of glorification of the Lord is the intent, still Krishna's going to take that mood. He's going to accept that. So that is the spirit of devotion that Maharaj was trying to emphasize. It's not so much the service, but it's the spirit of the service is being performed. The desire to please the Lord, the desire to serve the mission So preaching is very important in the sense that it actually puts us in a position of showing compassion to others. And we have to make some effort to reach out. And Prabhupada said, preaching, what does it mean? You hear something from someone, from a lecture, and you simply remember it and you repeat it. That's preaching. You read something, you remember it, and you preach it to someone else. You make an effort to somehow or other repeat what you hear. Prabhupada used a wonderful example of Saraswati, Malati's little girl. She was 5 years old at the time. She was one of the first children in our movement. And Malati, little Saraswati, she would, during the Sunday feast, she would walk around amongst the guests. And sometimes she would go up to one of the guests and she would say, do you know who Krishna is? And sometimes they would say no. And then she would say, he's the Supreme Personality of God. And then she would run away. And Prabhupada really liked that. He said, she is preaching. She doesn't know much, but whatever she knows, she's telling to others. Therefore, she's preaching. Like that. So in that sense, preaching really means to try to change a person's heart, to bring them closer to the Lord. It's not you have to be in a certain ashram or a certain position or simply giving classes. In your interaction with others throughout the day in your workplace or with people in general or whenever you come in contact, somehow or other, try to help one remember Krishna or bring them closer to Krishna. Speak about Krishna. Or be an example for Krishna consciousness. Preaching really means to change a person's heart. And we can do that in many ways. It's explained that there are three categories of devotees, first class, second class, and third class. And top class, third class, first class devotee is one who doesn't preach. Because they see everyone as being fully Krishna conscious. They see everyone as being more advanced than them. And therefore, they see Krishna everywhere and everything in Krishna. And therefore, they don't preach. They're on the Paramahansa stage. But out of compassion, such persons come down to the second class Paramahansa. We say, Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Pariva Jakacharja. That's the preaching stage. They come down to that stage to show compassion to the fallen souls. And on that stage, they make distinctions. That is, they worship the Lord. They give their love and devotion to the Lord. They make friends with other Vaishnavas. They show compassion to the fallen conditioned souls by giving them an opportunity to come closer to Krishna consciousness by making an effort to bring them forward. And they avoid the atheists and those who are actively against Krishna consciousness or God consciousness. This is the second class platform. This is the platform where our society is established on. And third class is those who are simply worship the deity in the temple and they have regards for the spiritual master and the deity, but they don't know how to behave with people in general. And they have a very envious attitude towards others in general. It's called Prakriti Bhakta. So Prabhupada wanted us to come up to the second class platform to somehow or other be able to function by being an instrument for helping others come closer. And actually preaching really means to learn. You can learn mostly. If you read scripture and you don't speak it, you actually generally forget it. Prabhupada says that just like a pot, there's an example in Srimad Bhagavatam, that a pot, if it has water in it, but it has a crack, a slight crack in it, in due course of time, that water will gradually seep out, and then the pot will be empty, the water will be gone. So that analogy is used that knowledge, if it's not used, is lost. It's an interesting statistic. Bhaktivedanta Maharaj was telling us that he was reading some statistics. This was a couple years ago in America. That people in general, they remember 10% of what they read. They remember 20% of what they hear. They remember 30% of what they see, and 50% of what they see and hear together. By seeing and hearing, the remembrance is increased. 70% of what they do, and 90% of what they teach. So the best way to remember is actually to repeat, to teach. So actually, not only is it an act of showing compassion to others, but it's a way of actually remembering Krishna, remembering the philosophy. So the more we actually become preachers or instruments for giving Krishna consciousness to others, the more we become Krishna conscious ourselves in that sense. Because the essence of Krishna consciousness is to remember Krishna. Shravanam Kirtana Smaranam. So through Shravanam comes Kirtanam, from Kirtanam comes Smaranam. So when we chant, then we remember, like that. So in that sense, it's not only an act of compassion to others, but it's the way to remember Krishna more and more, like that. So preaching is our life. And if we do, as Maharaj was explaining earlier, whatever we do, if it's in that mood of serving the Lord, then in one sense that is also preaching. That is also preaching. There's preaching, but then again, spreading Krishna consciousness in one way or the other, being an example for Krishna consciousness, that is also preaching. But the idea is to develop that mood of giving. That is the idea. Try to see yourself as an instrument. Whatever you've been received, you give. Lord Chaitanya said, I have this whole warehouse, and it's full of fruits of love of God, and I'm only one person. I'm only one simple gardener. Therefore, I need some help to distribute these fruits. And I see when I distribute these fruits, the storehouse increases. It doesn't decrease. In material life, if you have some money and you spend it, it goes down. Anything material has a tendency to, when it's used, it becomes less. But in spiritual life, whatever you use, it actually grows. It actually increases. Because Krishna gives you more. Use your intelligence, you get more intelligence. You use your energy, he gives you more energy. You use your time, he gives you more time. Like that. That's Krishna consciousness. Even in a material sense, they say, if you want something done, ask a busy man. Right? So you see, it's actually a spiritual principle. The more you use what Krishna has given you, the more it expands. So that is the beauty of Krishna consciousness, and that's what I was being asked of us. Somehow or other, whatever we're doing, do it in a mood to not only for ourselves, but for others. Do it in a mood of compassion to others. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay.